Curriculum Associates presents the Extraordinary Educators Podcast with hosts Danielle Sullivan and Sari Liberis. Hear tips, best practices, and successes to improve your teaching and leadership and drive student growth and learning. We're here for you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Extraordinary Educator Podcast. This is Danielle.
And this is Sari. This week, we are joined by one of our amazing colleagues, Mara Rodriguez, who is the Senior Director of Educator Success at Curriculum Associates.
And I love talking with Mara. Mara does such a good job framing what we need to do in education, but making it really tactical and practical in how we apply it to our classrooms, like something that can be so nebulous, like acceleration. She just really has a good way of breaking it down in a way that's easy to understand and also hopeful of just look at how many minutes we can save. Like, it's great. So I think you'll find a lot of helpful things to consider listening to this podcast.
Absolutely. So here's our conversation with Mara. Welcome back to the podcast, Mara. It's so great to have you here.
Great being here.
So Mara, you've recently wrote a blog. Can you kind of summarize what you shared in the blog? And then we'll use that to launch our conversation here.
Absolutely. So the blog, the impetus for this blog was caused by a little bit of what we're seeing. We have the privilege, as you know, of like being exposed to what many classrooms and many schools and many districts are doing. And we were starting to see a trend that we actually see often in education, which is I call it a little bit of the fool in the shower of like, oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. And then we like move the temperature too abruptly and sort of swing the pendulum. And one thing that we've been seeing is that with this drive to accelerate student learning, because we know that so many of our students have so much to go to beyond grade level, there was this acceleration or bust, right? And let's accelerate, which if you think of the word accelerate, it just means to go fast, right? And in that desire to do something that is very valid, which is get students to grade level faster, we've been seeing a little bit of overcorrection in the sense of, oh, then all we can put in front of every single student is on grade level content. And anytime that you have a student that is not doing grade level content, that is bad, 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 bad. Never do that again. Only put them on grade level content. And when we started seeing sort of the requests and questions came in, we had a lot of pause. We're like, whoa, wait a second. The fool in the shower is overcorrecting. And so the gist of the blog is really, we want to accelerate. We need to accelerate. We have too many students too far below grade level. But how do you accelerate? How do you go about that without being that fool in the shower? And how do you do that? How do you go about balancing providing on grade level content while remediating that essential content that they need to access that grade level content? So I keep on saying that it's a yes and not an either or. But of course, yes and is hard because the reaction is like, well, we have 180 school days and we have the hours in the day. So I think acknowledging that yes and is really hard, but we need to do it mindfully and not sort of overcorrect because that can lead to things that are not what our initial intent is.
Yeah, this is a big present to unwrap. Because we want to be able to allow students the opportunities so they can grow and thrive in school. But I've seen the same thing in my travels, that a really great best practice like acceleration turns into a poster and dies on the wall, or turns into a mandate that is unclear. So let's break this down a little bit. What should educators be thinking about? Because this is hard, or you have to do this in 45 minutes for math, or you only have 90 minutes to catch everybody up. So how do we begin to approach supporting educators in thinking about this?
So I think you said one of the first things, which is one of the things we recommend, is to acknowledge that this is difficult. And that's like a first step of like, oh, we're just going to go about this and we're going to accelerate in a month and we're going to put these things. No. So I think the very first step is acknowledging that this is difficult, that this might be something that you didn't learn in education school, that you haven't done before. So I think that might feel very basic, but that like getting into the mindset of like, okay, here we go. We're about to embark on something that's really hard and we have to try new things. I think the other is having that mindset that every minute counts. Mm-hmm. Right. That, and actually I would say like every second counts, because if you realize that you're trying to do more in the same amount of time, then that's the second thing that you have to think about, is time is of the essence. So how we use that time is really important. And what does that look like? That looks like almost tearing apart your class schedule for the week and for the day and saying, where am I really spending my minutes? Right? Where am I spending the minutes? And that for teachers might mean lobbying administration to say, this is what I'm doing with my minutes, but can we look at what the school calendar and schedule is doing with the minutes in the schedule? And I keep on saying minutes because it's a game of minutes. And we've seen schools that have done this right and have been really creative about, I shaved off a minute from every passing time. And if you do that, that's all of a sudden 10 minutes, because there are 10 transitions. You got 10 minutes back to do either remediation or to do more longer math block. So I think it's how do you look at your minutes? And then a third thing I think that's really important is you need to be intimate with your curriculum, right? Because if you're going to what we recommend, which is strategically scaffold, right? Then you need to know only what the skills that you need to remediate on that will help them access the grade level content. And in order to do that, you have to keep the end in mind. And the end is, I need to know that this third grader by the end of third grade needs to do X. That means that I should definitely remediate X and Y. Those are our first three. I think that there's a couple of more, but I think those three bring a lot. The really recognizing this is hard, mind your minutes, and lobby for the school to mind their minutes, and then really know the end, which is the grade level standards.
Thanks so much for breaking it down and providing those three buckets. I think the mindset one really resonates with me. This is a slightly different topic, but I remember in the classroom when I was learning how to facilitate discourse for math, my principal said to me, like, this is not going to be easy. It's not just a quick hit that you can just implement tomorrow. It's going to take time. But that really helped me understand that, like, that a little progress was actually the right thing day by day, right? And it's not just going to change overnight. And so going into this with, you know, I might try things and get it wrong, or I might do things that don't work the first time, but just knowing that it's not going to be easy, I think will really help teachers.
And the other thing that does, Sari, is it's not just this is hard, this is difficult. And we say a phrase of like progress over perfection. Just make a little bit of progress. It doesn't have to be perfect this school year. But the other thing that hopefully makes teachers recognize is you cannot do this alone.
Right.
So when you embark on something difficult, it's a lot easier to be successful if you have a crew. And so if you're trying to do this, like the things that I mentioned of your schedule or knowing your curriculum and the grade level standards, how great is it if you're doing it with your entire third grade cohort? Mm-hmm. You're looking at your minutes as a group and you are dissecting your grade level standards as a group. So maybe you can do a little bit of divide and conquer.
Right.
So I think that's another piece of recognizing that it's difficult. It's also recognizing you can't do it alone.
Definitely.
So I have a tactical question around once, so say you they mastered their minutes, they're on board for that. So how do we maximize that 50 minutes of instruction? Because the biggest pain point that I had as a teacher when my students would say done, I hated it. They're like, done. I was like, learning is never finished. So what else can we do? So what are some recommendations that you can give educators if they have the extra time, how do they maximize it within that time?
Yeah, so it's funny because they're never going to have extra time. I was like, I wish I had extra time. But with the minutes that they've carved out, right, because you're not getting more, I think one of the things that's really important that it's basically the fourth thing, which is you not only have to know your curriculum, but you really have to know your students. And you have to know where your students are relative to each part of the grade level content, right? And so it can't be like, oh, I get to know my students at the beginning of the year and that helps me inform the rest of my planning. No, I'm about to teach geometry. Well, where are my students relative to geometry? And maybe Danielle doesn't have as many learning gaps in geometry, and maybe Sari does. So you need to know that before you're going to teach every unit. The same in literacy, right? Like maybe they're not so great at main idea, but some people are. When you know your students, then I love that you said the word tactical, because then you can get tactical. Tactical in where you sit them, right? Like where you sit them. Like if these are the students that are going to struggle in this unit, you might want to sit them closer to you and easier for you to get to as you're walking around the room. How do you pair them up? How do you do pair ups for when they're doing partner work? And then what are the tools and scaffolds that you want to give them? Again, specific to that unit or that skill. You're about to do something related to word problems, and you know that students are struggling with multiplication and their multiplication facts. If you know that, you can say, you know what? This skill is not about you knowing the multiplication facts. So I'm going to give you a table with all the multiplication facts, because this skill is really about you mastering word problems. And I don't want that to hold you back from this grade level skill. Eventually, in my remediation block, I will get to have you strengthen your multiplication facts. But right now, I want you to focus on this grade level skill. The same for literacy. If there are some vocabulary words that you know are going to hold them back from this grade level content, know it ahead of time, and you slip them a little glossary on the side, or you pre-teach the vocabulary words so that they can access the grade level content and not feel frustrated. So I think those are a couple of things. If you know your students and you know your content, then I always call them the 1% solutions. Teaching is all about being tactical. Where do you sit the students? What is your path? Who's going to be on your list of the 3 or 4 students that you're going to really want to be over the shoulder with? How are they going to partner? Those 1% solutions are really important. And you don't have to do them all. Try one. Progress over perfection.
Right. And you even sort of embedded another one in there, which is front load to your students what the focus is for the day, right? So that they can really narrow their thinking in terms of what their goal is for that class period.
It's great that you said that, Sari, because I think our mindset for remediation has been always the kidney table in the back of the room, right? Yep. And when 80% of your class has the same skill gap, that's a lot of kidney tables, right? So if you know that ahead of time and you say, wait a second. So if 80% of my students are struggling with this prerequisite skill that they're going to need for grade level content, I always say it's pay now versus pay later, or invest now, right? So spending 10 minutes with the entire class to cover that prerequisite skill and sort of shore it up, because they might have forgotten or they might not have gotten it. Those 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you might think, oh no, I'm going to get off pace because this is not in my curriculum. Those 10 minutes are time well invested, because guess what that's going to do? When you do cover on minute 16, you start covering the on grade level skill. They don't have that gap. They're like, oh yes, I can do this, because you just refreshed my memory of that one skill that I needed to access this grade level content. So it's really a mind shift. And again, this is also really important for me. So I focused on middle school in my career, and I learned so much from teachers that had come up from the elementary world. Because for middle school teachers, this doesn't come naturally. I wasn't taught to do small groups and go on the kidney table. And when, as a sixth grade teacher, you recognize that so many of your students need that scaffolding, then if you start thinking like an elementary school teacher of what do each of them needs, how do I do stations, how do I maximize my time with a small group of students to give them what they need, it really takes middle school teaching to the next level if you bring in some of those strategies that are thought about as middle school strategies. They're just good teaching strategies that middle school teachers can adopt.
Well, Mara, thank you so much, as always, for dropping your wisdom, sharing some tactical, practical strategies for educators to think about this. This is the next wave of what we need to do, and we just so appreciate you. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. But if you want to learn more from Mara, you can link, we're linking her blog in the show notes. Please subscribe to this podcast. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn a lot more. We appreciate you, Mara, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Get inspired by following us on social media, and please tag us in your posts on Twitter at @curriculumassoc and on Instagram at @myiready. If you have feedback about the podcast, a topic of interest, or want to be a guest, email extraordinaryeducators@caink.com. Subscribe where you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to help more educators like you join the conversation, please leave a review.
And remember, be you, be true, be extraordinary. The Extraordinary Educators Podcast is produced by Curriculum Associates, editing by Whiteboard Geeks, social media by Atsney Hannon, guest booking by Sari Liberis, production by Haley Browning. This podcast is copyright material and intellectual property of Curriculum Associates.